Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, July 21st, 2011 meeting of the Community Promotions Committee. We are all in attendance, including Dan, who may have changed his appearance, but it's still Dan. First up is public comment, and I do see some people in the audience. Some of you are actually on our agenda. Is there any public comment at this time? Nope. Okay. Then we will go to approval of the minutes, and please note we have two sets of minutes. The first from the May 19th. Oh, committee announcements. I'm sorry. Let's do that. Any announcements down at this end?
I do, as a matter of fact.
Yay!
As a matter of fact, I do have an announcement. I guess it's on. Tonight is a chamber mixer, and everyone is invited to go to the mixer. It's at the Art Center in Morro Bay, which is at 835 Main Street. It starts at 5:30, and it'll till about 7. And some very interesting things will take place at this mixer tonight. There'll be food and wine and the opportunity to view the International Encaustic Artists Juried Exhibit, whatever that may be, at the Morro Bay Art Association. It's a member show and work by this week's children's art classes, and they'll have a video about Art Center history and programs. The event is to help kick off the 16th anniversary celebration. So they'll be 60 years old in September, and there'll be artists there to meet and to greet the people. So everyone, please come down to the Art Center tonight. That's on Morro Bay Boulevard. It's between Morro Bay Boulevard and Harbor at 835 Main Street, 5:30 to 7.
Thank you, Ed. Anybody else have an announcement? Got a couple. Bill.
I would like to say I'm sorry I missed last month's meeting. You all look great on television. Maybe we should start some kind of a program. I would like to thank the 4th of July group for what a great event they had. And they also had some great advertising. And I like to think that our contribution helped with this advertising. And I really like this one, the two-page in the Tribune that advertised four different 4th of July. So it's a great, great co-op ad. And I thank the 4th of July group for what a good group they did. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Tracy.
Yeah, what he said. Also, just for everybody's information, it was last Friday, we had a meeting at the Art Center in Morro Bay with, and all the local gallery owners and people involved in the arts committee were invited, and Craig chaired it. It was a great meeting.
Motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Tracy's a second. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We're sort of trying to move along quickly because we're going to have our joint meeting coming up, and we need a little time to rearrange things. Okay, on next to monthly reports, budget report. The budget subcommittee did meet, and that would be Ed and Dan and myself, and we met with Sherry, had a real productive meeting, giving her some direction on looking into other avenues of advertising, especially more locally. With newspaper, radio, TV, and she's going to come back to the group with some suggestions, and then we'll have a chance to approve our budget. The email that I got from her suggests that she's not quite ready with a complete budget. Is that correct, Sherry? Do you have any comments about that?
We are working towards having a full 2011-2012 budget for CPC. I think the best thing to do would be to meet with the subcommittee the week of August 8th, and we can set that up, and then have that budget ready for approval at the August meeting for everybody to take a look at.
Okay. Does anybody have any comments, questions? One thing I will say, my daughter participated in the Renaissance Fair this past weekend, and she is good friends with the person who runs the whole fair. He's in charge of it. Their ticket sales were way up. Their attendance was way up. Their vendor sales were way up. And he felt, and this is, you know, secondhand I'm hearing it, but I may approach him and see what I can find out specifically. He felt the difference was increased advertising and especially increased local advertising. And they had lots of local people coming who said they didn't even know there was a fair. And I mean, it's been there for decades. But to me, that was a significant thing. And I think when you get that buzz going, like we saw with the July 4th event, when an event looks busy and full, it's more attractive to outsiders as well as insiders. And you do get that pull in, I think, from other communities. So I thought that was important and relates to our direction with our budget leaning more towards some of that, raise the awareness in our own communities of what Morro Bay has to offer. So just thought I'd add that in. Website subcommittee, did they meet?
Yes.
Yes, Ed.
Sort of. Bill has some information on that.
We did not have a meeting in person. We had several email exchanges between the three of us. I personally was hoping that we would have a meeting with Barnett Cox before this meeting, but we haven't. We had a couple questions and don't know what's happening, so I think we would like to have a joint meeting with the three parties involved with the website, the TBID, the Chamber of Commerce, and the Promotions Committee. And at that meeting, we'd like to discuss things that are happening on the webpage and where we see it going in the future and what we can do. One of the things we questioned was there's an ad on the homepage that we didn't exactly know who authorized to put that in. So we would really like to have a meeting as soon as possible, sometime before the next meeting. And at that meeting, we'll need a room and we'll need a computer and a large screen. And I'm hoping the city can make those arrangements or give us some dates when we can have that. I don't have a laptop to bring, so Burnett Cox has a laptop. Hey, something that you can bring. So we'll need a room with Wi-Fi, and we'll need a room like that. So, and I can coordinate, if you want me to, Andrea, with the other people involved. What? Okay. All right. But that's what we would really like. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, comments on website from other members? Not at this time. Okay. Creative Review Subcommittee. Creative met, didn't you?
Yeah. We actually met. Barnett Cox was generous enough to host us, and we met with the TBIDS Creative Subcommittee and met over there. It was a very productive meeting. Covered a lot of ground. It was a great meeting. We had a lot done. And that was kind of the basis of what the new logo material was kind of the end result of that. And there's so it was a good, I think, meeting jointly with the TBID subcommittees is a very effective tool. We're all on the same page.
Where we actually have polls available. One of the things I noticed, especially on Morro Bay Boulevard, we have multitudes of polls, and there's three different kinds of polls, and they're, I think we need to, before we decide, yes, let's do banners, we're going to have to decide how many, which polls are we going to use. I need to get together with the city to find out, are there restrictions on any of the polls? Can we eliminate some of them? I think we've got these metal, silver-colored polls that just stand there and do nothing. Some of them have brackets. A lot of them already have brackets, but not all of them. Then we have our green polls that are the cute, old-fashioned ones. Some of them are right next to those silver polls. And then we have a few really tall, black light poles. And, of course, in between all that, we have electric poles, which we can't use. But I think, and then there's some that are obscured by tree foliage as well. So what I'd like to do is pull a little committee together so that we can get together with a city staff person, walk up and down those streets, and look at what we can actually use, what's used, say, by the car show on some other, or the festivals. I'm wondering, too, about eliminating some of the polls, whether we can come secretly in the night and just
No.
Take them down. I mean, there's some poles there that have no function. And to me, that's clutter way beyond a sidewalk sign. At least with the sidewalk sign, you're looking down at the sidewalk, so you're not seeing how many poles we have floating around, you know, but it's kind of funny. And then North Main actually only has 6 poles up that whole length of the street that are even remotely clear and available. Several of those do have brackets with bars already out. Some of them have brackets but no bars, and some have nothing at all. So what we're going to be looking at when we get estimates on the sign stuff is, are we just getting the sign? Are we buying brackets as well? Do we need the bars as well as the brackets? All that kind of thing. I did talk with Sean Farmer, who helped facilitate the Embarcadero signs. He went with a company called Big City Signs. They're very friendly. They make a real sturdy sign. They're open to having Barnett Cox do the design. I know Sean thought the idea of having a little variation he thought would be good, and my original thought had been to have some kind of community input on some part of it, little contest to choose the words on the signs or the pictures on the signs, something to get a little community buy-in. But I think I would like to sit down with several other people to discuss this and work out a plan, because I don't want to make all the decisions myself. Just think teams work better. So, given all that, I'm open for comments, but also anybody who would love to be on the banner committee, you know, working, hopefully not too many meetings. We'll have to work with the city a bit, find out what we can do, and work with Barnett Cox and come up with some design plans and possibly do a little more research into who else could provide us with signs, see if Goofy Graphics maybe could do a competitive bid on that, keep the money in community. Although I do think working with Big City Signs, that somebody Sean Farmer works with, so that may help him have some leeway with them down the road. So any comments, questions?
I'll make a comment.
Okay.
I'd like to be on that committee.
Okay.
I too went down and counted poles. Mm-hmm. I question if we can use light poles. You know, those I think are the property of PG&E. So mm-hmm. I don't know if we have to get permission from PG&E. I know there are a couple poles on Morro Bay Boulevard. There are light poles that would be great to put signs on, but I question if we can use those. Mm-hmm. But I would love to serve on that committee, and in particular the design of the signs. And to me, it would be nice to have different types of signs, one that says Welcome to Morro Bay, another one Stay in Morro Bay, Eat in Morro Bay, you know, mm-hmm. have something a little bit different instead of, and I counted 48 poles.
You saw more than I
did. I don't think we need, I don't, well.
The trees got in the way.
Yeah, but anyhow, I don't think we need to use all the poles, but
no,
I would like
no,
to
no,
serve
no.
on the committee.
I think using all the poles would be really cluttered. I would rather see, you know, maybe each intersection has signs. Mm-hmm.
I think it would be neat to have a sign as you come into town that says, Welcome to Morro Bay.
We do.
And we've got three or four places where you could put that type of a sign.
Don't we still have that low sign that's mm-hmm. in front of the gas station?
Yeah.
But again, low, it's not really your line of vision when you're doing the roundabout.
Susan, do you have any time?
The same general style and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think part of this, of course, is the city's works department, I think, with the taking down poles or changing poles. But you're right, there's a lot of really funky-looking poles up there. Maybe, you know, pricing brackets with them is one of the issues. On the Embarcadero, I love how they look and the improvement, but they are on the sidewalk side rather than the street side because of parking clearance, which, you know, these are things I'd love to change the next time around. I think they'd be more attractive if they were facing the street and higher.
Yeah.
The color on the ones on the Embarcadero came out much more muted than as designed because of the fabric used and how it absorbed the ink and so forth. I mean, those are all issues that maybe we could address.
Yeah.
And we need to look for, you know, other forms of funding, too.
Yes, yeah. We may just need to do that.
Who can we bug for that, you know?
Part of the budget has got to be putting them up, maintenance, mm-hmm. taking them down, mm-hmm. You know, there's so that's. I'm assuming the city's going to charge us for putting those up.
Andrea, she said I didn't hear that. Yeah, these are things we need to look at. Amit, I was wondering if you would be interested in being on the committee.
Yeah, sure, I would be.
Yeah,
I would like to be a part.
Okay.
Sorry, I had a quick question. Like sure. The poll which we had it on Embarcadero for the sign banners, did we put that poll or we used the one was already there?
Those were existing polls, and they did repaint them, which was another thing I thought, you know, at the very least we could repaint all those silver poles green just so there's some continuity in the appearance down there. But, yeah, the polls were there, and that's, I think adding a poll gets pretty expensive.
Right. Yeah, because when Bill said, like, if we can use the PG&E, but then when they do their maintenance and their, like, schedule maintenance and stuff, we don't want to have any trouble, like, getting our sign in their way and, you know, them taking down, putting back in, and then we to keep monitoring that.
Right.
Then rather than we can use the poll, which is, you said, there's, like, tons of polls on more people, we can let the city take it out, whichever we don't need it, but then we can pick, like, you know, the spot which we need, and we can do the same thing, like,
right.
Repaint them and just, like, use it, because you said there's a few has a bracket and bars already.
Yes. Yeah.
So we can, like, save
some money.
Save some
way.
Money there, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jen?
I had a comment, too, and I agree on the color, especially on the Embarcadero poles. They unfortunately look faded already. And with the weather that we have, they're going to be, you know, in tatters, I expect, within 6 months, and that's a problem, too. The Bird Festival, I'm guessing at least 6 years ago now, had some banners done by Goofy Graphics, and they're solid canvas, different colors of canvas, and a white design on them of a pelican, and then our printing. And I think if we could do something like that, where the banner itself is just a solid piece, then you don't worry about fading so much. And they haven't. They haven't faded at all. Now, granted, they're only up for a month. They go up when the Christmas decorations come down, and they go down at the end of January. But they've lasted really, really well. And I think that's something that we could consider that would be have a little more longevity to mm-hmm. it than a design that's printed on, because you're always going to get fading when you do that.
Mm-hmm. I do think, from talking with Sean, I think the banners are going to last. He said it was a really sturdy fabric. They're two-sided, and they have a blackout sheet in between them. I think, as you said, probably whatever that fabric was absorbed the colors. They went up that with that look. I don't think they faded, but I had that reaction myself. Wow, they're already faded, but I think that was color choices, ink choices, something. So that's something to look at, though, because I do think in a town, I don't know the percentage of fog days, but bright is going to be better. You know, something really that pops. And
well, when that committee meets, if you'd like to see one of our banners,
yeah,
we can get
great.
One from wherever they're stored.
That'd be great. All right. Okay, that's my unfinished business.
Chair Stewart, I didn't catch who was on your subcommittee. I got Mr.
Looks
Patel and
Bill.
Mr. Stafford and yourself.
Yes.
Thank you.
Unless somebody else wants, I'll give up my position. No. Okay. All right, we have under new business a presentation from the Harbor Festival from Hunter regarding a merchant's pavilion. And he's going to get started.
Good morning, members of the committee and staff and members of the public. My name is Hunter Kilpatrick, and I am the executive director for Morro Bay Festivals. And I'm here today to present to you and to announce a new feature at the Morro Bay Harbor Festival this year. We are bringing in the Morro Bay Merchants Pavilion. This is going to be a 30-foot by 80-foot, that's 2,400 square foot pavilion, going to be located at the south main entrance. This main entrance gets about 90% of all our visitors, which will be, we estimate, between 12 and 15 there on your left. And on the right, which is the southbound lanes of the Embarcadero, our main entrance at exit gates. And the pavilion will be the first thing you see when you come in. To your left will be some booths, some commercial booths that are outside. We can put signage on it, you know, welcome to Morro Bay type thing. Why we're adding this, over the last year I've been talking to a lot of the merchants in Morro Bay, and there's one common question and concern is how does the festival benefit them? They see it benefits, you know, the Embarcadero, but how does it benefit the rest of Morro Bay? Frankly, there hasn't been a way for local businesses to get a direct benefit without renting a booth, which costs $340 to $470 until now. This is a win-win solution for local businesses in the city of Morro Bay as a whole. I really see it as a showcase event or a showcase part. We've redesigned the site plan to make room for the pavilion. The cost of the pavilion is all it needs to get is to be recovered. We're just looking at not losing money on it. It's an excellent opportunity for you to bring direct benefit to the local businesses at a very low cost. Inside the pavilion, it'll probably be about 16 to 18 spaces, 8 feet in length. We're looking at the businesses to group up. I've already got a commitment from Marina Square. They're going to group up as one unit. North Main is going to group up as one unit. I'm looking for the art stores, clothing stores, restaurants to do a similar type thing. So think of it as a trade show more than vendors. It's going to have displays and information more than the point of sale. This makes it less expensive for the merchants to man the booths. There's going to be no merchandise that they have to watch and oversee. No extra employees are going to be needed to cover their stores. And no individuals or businesses will be locked into manning the display the whole weekend since they're grouping up and several businesses are sharing the same space. And how does it get paid for? Well, that's why I'm here. I'm looking to see if the promotions committee would be interested in helping cover the cost at $2,000. It's partial cost. The merchants then would pay $10 per linear display foot, which is $40 a day, basically, for each space. And you get two or three merchants sharing that. It's basically nothing. This brings the display area for the merchants down to $1.25 a square foot versus if they rented a regular booth would be $340 to $470 a square foot and the savings of over 65% to the merchants. We feel this is an excellent way to really show off to all our visitors the diverse and wonderful businesses and merchants we have to offer them while they're staying in Morro Bay. And I thank you. Here's my contact information. I'm available for any questions.
Thanks, Hunter. Do we have questions?
I have a question. So this will be strictly static displays. There won't be a merchant trying to sell products or do anything like that?
We see it more as merchants trying to sell their business. When you're done with the festival, come visit us up on Main Street. Come visit us down in the Embarcadero. Come visit us in North Main.
But they won't be out there hawking their wares.
No, we're actually leaving it up to the merchants, but we think that it's probably the best use of this is to be more trade show, you know, set up a display. This is what we have to offer. Come visit us on your way out of town. Come back next week and visit us. And that's why I'm thinking trade show rather than actual sales. If they want to have sales in there, they can. I'm not restricting that. I just see a lot of the merchants have explained to me that it's hard for them to run their business. We have a lot of small merchants here. They have to hire extra staff to keep the store open if they're going to have a booth down there. This way they can share up and each take, you know, four-hour shifts and help relay information and showcase what kind of businesses that we have in Morro Bay. It's a chance to take all of Morro Bay and bring it into one little pavilion and say, this is what we have to offer.
Jana?
What kind of response have you been getting from the business community? I mean, obviously, Marina Square is buying into it, but have they been expressing an interest in that, or is it kind of...
Overwhelmingly. I'm worried about it not being big enough.
Really?
I've talked to the Merchants Association. Every merchant involved in the Merchants Association has been extremely interested. North Morro Bay, they got me at the door saying, what an excellent opportunity for us. The Embarcadero Group, I've spoke with them, and every single merchant there has been overwhelmingly, this is a fantastic idea. Craig at the Chamber has agreed to be an administrator of it to help organize the inside of the pavilion. So far, the merchant support is just overwhelmingly positive.
Okay. And do you know, are many of them planning to sell? The reason I ask that is I'm wondering if there's a conflict between the booths that you sell to vendors at a much higher rate, and then if these people in the pavilion are going to be able to sell at this lower rate, and is that a concern with anyone?
Completely up to the merchants on what they want to do inside. I've made the space. I've rented the tent. I'm putting it down there and saying it's yours, Morro Bay businesses. It's everybody's asking, you know, what can we do to take advantage of the Harbor Fest, and I'm giving you the space.
Thank you.
Hunter, other than the funding from the promotions committee and the monies you receive from the merchants that display, what other funding are you looking at to support this?
We're not really looking at making money on this. I feel with what I've heard from the promotions committee that they're really trying to focus on internal, strengthening our image, strengthening our internal advertising here locally within the community. I think this is a natural match. I'm not looking for sponsors on it. It's going to cost $3,000 to maybe $3,500. It's going to cost the festival to have this pavilion there, and this will recoup all those costs. And if it'll get close enough to it, if it costs us a couple hundred dollars from the festival point of view, we think it's worth it because of the benefit it'll bring the festival.
Thank you.
So basically, this $2,000 is a subsidy that the city would be doing for the merchants of Morro Bay to be able to have a venue to announce who they are and what they do and where they are. And I do like the idea of businesses coming together cooperatively. You know, I could see regions in town, as you say, or even like businesses. You know, the galleries get together, the craft shows or businesses get together. Personally, I think it's a brilliant idea. And I was at the merchants meeting. There was a lot of support there. So,
is this going to be strictly for retail businesses? Or will real estate and businesses be involved?
I'm leaving that up to the merchants in Morro Bay. I see it as I don't see a problem personally with having, you know, if the realtors wanted to get together and have a section, and this is what we have to offer. It's a chance to showcase the visitors that are here from the Valley or here from Santa Barbara for the weekend to see what Morro Bay has to offer besides a wonderful festival on the Embarcadero. So, it's for all the businesses in Morro Bay as far as my approach to it.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
Is there a way, like, when you said you want to, like, rather than sell, you said you are looking for the trade show too, like that. Like, in that case, can we raise some money by, like, you know, telling the merchants to provide the banners and, you know, to put their banner over there, like, cost least amount of money, and we can use that money?
To put their banner inside?
Yeah, like, so when people going to come in and you said, you want them to, you know, not to sell something there, but come to the shop and stuff. So, like, little information, due to crowded people, like, people might walk away, like, keep looking at it, oh, you know, something is there, information booth, and then rather than you have a, like, big sign or big banners over there, like, they have to get your banners, we're not going to make it, but, like, you know, like, say, example, like, anybody, XYZ, you know, like, oh, you have this offer and that offer, and they can make, like, any size, 3 to 10 or 3 by 9, and we can let them put it over there, like, use the least amount of space somewhere on, like, the fence or on your tent where you're going to make it, and, you know.
Well, the outsides of it aren't really visible to anybody.
Right.
If you recall it, there's going to be an orange fence along one side.
Right.
It's funneling everybody through instead of around it, so the outside, the long sides of it aren't really visible to anybody. We could, you know, if we could find a sponsor that wanted to do the front or the back. I see my personal vision of it is the front, just, you know, welcome to Morro Bay. Morro Bay welcomes you. This is what we have. And the city, the community of Morro Bay actually being the sponsors of the event. The merchants inside, they could set up their area however they want, you know, with banners. And it's an excellent opportunity. I know the Embarcadero Merchants Group has had are working on a map of all the businesses in the Embarcadero. They'll be able to distribute that so that people can walk out and know what that is. I know there's maps being worked on for the galleries, and, you know, this would be just, that's why I'm thinking trade show. It's more of, you know, as people come by, they can, if they have an interest in the galleries, they can come by, they can go to that section and find out what art galleries are, where they're at. They can go see what kinds of restaurants we have, where they're at. what kind of arts and crafts shows that we are stores we have and where they're located. What's available in North Morro Bay, you know, when you drive through. What's available downtown. So I totally expect the businesses to have banners and, you know, decorations and information available at their spaces of what their businesses are.
Yeah, but the vendor who don't want to be there, like say when you said restaurant or any stores, they can like they have to either close this up and put the booth over there or rather hire an employee. So we can rather just have like oh you know.
The one idea I originally had was to get the whole thing financed, and then at the Embarcadero merchants meeting. The concept came up, if we get the whole thing financed, make it free to all the merchants to come in and put it, we'd end up with total clutter. We'd end up with stacks of business cards, unmanned. It would be a mess. And by actually giving them a space where we're renting them a space at a very minimum cost, they're taking ownership of that area. And, you know, we're trying to get the businesses actually to participate rather than just put up a sign and walk away.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is this something, Andrew, that we can vote on now?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
We don't have a budget.
We don't have a budget. We could vote to have it put in our budget. and we have the categories in our budget that we have had before. And we basically are working with the same amount of money that we had in the past, but we'll be shifting it. I could see this coming under tourism, local community awareness, local outreach, public relations. I feel like there's a space we could fit this kind of thing in. And I would be willing to go ahead and put that money out there just so we can get this process rolling because it's going to be October before you know it. And I think with the very positive response from merchants in Morro Bay, I think it would be a good PR for this committee to do and for the city to do to support businesses in a pretty hard financial time.
I agree with that, and I just want to thank Hunter for thinking of it. I mean, because it has been a problem. You know, what do the local merchants get out of these events? And it's a great way to provide for that. I think it's a great idea.
I'd quickly like to put credit where credit's due. This idea actually came to me from Jeff Eccles.
Okay.
He said, why don't you put a pavilion in there?
Thank you, Jeff.
That's a great idea.
You know, I could see this coming out of community awareness. This is an opportunity. You know, advertising, a print ad, a radio ad, whatever, you know, are going to be effective for some businesses, not others. One-on-one advertising is always effective across the board. And this is something I think is very accessible for businesses. It's something that's less expensive. It's easier to do. It brings the community together. You get a chance to advertise to people in our community and from without our community. And, you know, we know Harbor Fest is, I mean, this is a guaranteed captive audience if they've got to go through that. It's kind of a win-win. And, again, it gives us an opportunity from that study that we just saw. How many local people are just completely unaware of what tourism does for us and what our own town has to offer? You know, I think we can bridge a lot of gaps on that one.
Also, I think it allows businesses that would like to have participated in the Harbor Festival and weren't able to in the past. It answers that question, too. It solves that problem because now there's probably no business in town, if they wanted to, that couldn't participate in the Harbor Festival at a very, very reasonable rate. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good idea also.
Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion that we offer the $2,000 and put it under, if we're going to have the same categories, either local outreach or public relations. I don't care. Someplace. But we need to know where it's going to be.
So we can direct our advertising agency
so
to...
Local outreach.
Yeah. I think. I'll second that.
Yeah. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anybody opposed? We did it.
Thank you very much.
Hunter.
I'm sure this is going to be a wonderful... You know, it's, when people come into the festival, that's what they see is the Morro Bay merchants now, so... Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. All right. And we're going to move along. We need to be a little quick because we have to allow for some transition time. Next up on new business was advertisement assistance for Morro Bay businesses, and I believe this is Steve Nukes from Tolosa Press.
Thank you, committee members and the public. I'm Steve Nukes with Tolosa Press, and we are the Bay News, and it's really a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you. One of the key elements that we have been hearing is that locals are not participating with the merchants enough, and that people are really just generally not aware of Morro Bay. One of the things that we did last year in 2010, the Morro Bay Merchants Association, okay.
Is that what you're going for?
Yeah, actually, I was just going to hold it up and pass it around, but that's fine. Okay.
Maybe a little higher. There we are. And slide it a little bit more to the other way. To your right.
We've got this both anecdotally, people that were saying that they were seeing new people that were coming into their businesses that they had never seen before. I got comments from people in San Luis Obispo and in South County that I didn't even know Morro Bay was here. And this was just absolutely outstanding to find out what was there. And we made trips over to Morro Bay in response to these ads. One of the other things I think that was demonstrated was that in fourth quarter, during a height of the recession where all other businesses were seeming to be going down, sales tax revenue in Morro Bay actually increased. So we were seeing some significant differences and changes that were starting to take place. This year in 2011, the Morro Bay Merchants Association has not been able, because of budget constraints, to participate in this. We have gotten feedback from a significant number of businesses that say that they miss these ads and would really like to see it happen again. The Bay News and actually Tolosa Press has made a significant contribution in these ads. The double full page is generally you would be paying retail about $3,400 for it. They are making it available for $800, single full page for $500 versus $1,700. So what they are doing is making it available at a significant discount. Also, the individual ads for the merchants are being made available. They're generally $225 ads for $65. So Tolosa Press is extremely committed to this area and to seeing the success of Morro Bay, and they have made a significant contribution in terms of making this available. What we would like to do, I really compliment Hunter on his absolutely outstanding presentation. Ours is very much more low-tech. I'm going to hand this out to you. But we would like to be able to have the promotions committee participate in doing these. We don't do them every week. We are a weekly paper. We do them generally. We coordinate in order to get the most bang for the buck. So generally something like a Harbor Festival or Labor Day or during the Christmas season so that we, again, can make people aware of it and draw them into the city. We have found out in talking, again, anecdotally to people in South County that they love a day trip up here. They consider it to be a real change of pace. It's a chance to take advantage of the local area and to really have a lot of fun, and then seeing which particular businesses are here in the area, they have found that to be, you know, extremely useful. And again, my understanding is in talking to these businesses, they're seeing people again that they haven't seen before. So we would love to be able to have the promotions committee participate in this. We think that it's something that's affordable. We think it's an extremely useful investment of funds. It gets the word out on Morro Bay. All of the merchants are, because of the banner that we have in here for Morro Bay, all of the merchants are, whether they're in the ads or not, it draws people into Morro Bay, and then those that are in there actually have an opportunity to promote their businesses at an extreme discount. So thank you very much for the opportunity to present this to you, and I'm available for any questions if you have them.
Anyone have any questions?
Just for clarification, I just wanted to ask that if we paid for the $800 page, then the merchants have that page to put their ads on at $65 each, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And we will take full responsibility for working with the merchants. In other words, we're not going to make you do committees. We're not going to put any additional work on the promotions committee itself. Just to be able to make these pages available is what we're asking for, and then we will go and get the other merchants that would be in there and would fill the pages. One of the things that was really nice is the pages themselves really show off Morro Bay.
They do.
They really give an opportunity for people to go, oh my, I didn't know that was there. And again, those were comments that we have been receiving from people out of the area, as well as locals going, oh, I didn't know that business was down there. So again, locals are getting an opportunity to see what's here and be reminded of what's here, that you don't have to go to San Luis in order to get the goods and services that you're looking for.
And the locals. And how many times a year are you suggesting that this run, and the 800 is per time?
The 800 is per time.
Okay.
Approximately four, maybe five at the most,
Thanks.
I would say. And we would coordinate with Barnett Cox in determining when the best.
Bay, I'd rather see us taking the money and placing an ad in their paper promoting Morro Bay merchants and not individual merchants. I think it's the responsibility of your sales department to go out and sell those ads, and that's good, and get the merchants involved. But as far as our committee is concerned, I think our responsibility is to the committee as a whole, not taking pieces of it, putting it together on a page. It's to take an ad, make an ad, promote the city as a whole. And that's just my take on it, if we're going to use our money.
If I can respond to what Ed said, his point is very well taken. You know, should you be sponsoring individual businesses? What we look at is this page promotes the city as a whole with the pictures of how absolutely gorgeous Morro Bay is. The individual merchants are given an opportunity to participate at a significant discount to them if they choose to do so. What you're doing is making it available that we're not able to go through and do a $65 ad for individual merchants. There's no way in the world that we could do that. What we're doing is Tolosa Press is willing to make a concerted effort to help by providing a significant discount along with the assistance of the promotions committee to be able to put these together. We are not making any money on these ads. It is really our community service that we are doing this for. So we're not picking up the cost on that, but we are making it available. So, and again, the large overview promotes Morro Bay and draws people into Morro Bay. And then the individual merchants have an opportunity to show themselves off if they choose to do that. But generally, it's, as they say, the rising tide, all boats go up. By people seeing Morro Bay and the beauty of this area, that draws people into here, and all of the businesses get an opportunity to participate.
One thing I could see is for the outreach to businesses, we may want to utilize the Chamber's list and the Merchants Association list if we choose to go down this path, to say we have these four ad times coming up, you know, give people a month in advance, put out a blast who wants to participate, and that spreads it out more in the community, maybe.
Well, I know we're limited for time, but to respond to you, Steve, I understand what you're saying, but it's an individual medium that we're choosing. We could do the same thing with television. A few years ago, we did one with the coupon booklet. We did a co-op with them. We gave them some money. They put a nice banner in the front for Morro Bay, and then we allowed the tourism industry, the hotels and motels, to go in and place ads at a reduced rate, and the rep from there publication was a very similar offer that you're making. I could see a TV rep sitting up there saying the same thing. We'll create a donut, and we'll go out and we'll sell advertising locally, and we'll get participants to do that. So now we have to say to ourselves as a committee, is this the best medium for us to use? There are other choices that we have. And rather than get into that kind of discussion, I would rather see our committee take the money that we do have, the limited funds we do have, and use them to promote Morro Bay as a whole rather than for individual merchants. I think the individual merchants, again, soliciting their advertising business is your job, the job of the media itself. Our job is to not create ads for the merchants, but for the city as a whole. And that's just my take on it. That's the way I feel.
I'd have to agree with you. I think it sounds a lot like subsidizing certain businesses, and I think there's a lot of businesses that can't afford even at $65 right to participate right now. And my concern is that we have those people already feel left out, excluded, unable to, you know, meet their. It's our job to market Morro Bay as a whole in order to help these businesses. The stronger environment I think we create, the stronger our businesses become. And we already have an ad agency, and I think it's kind of we're already paying them to do this. And I'd rather put the $500 into promoting Morro Bay
their
as
take
a community
on this. Without the media present, I mean, in our meeting, I'd like to hear what our agency thinks of this idea also. I think we need to rely on you also for your expertise in this.
I think right off the bat, the budget is a concern since we're not there yet. And I think this could be taken on a case-by-case basis. I agree with the Morro Bay as a whole, but I think I see some potential in this at certain times. I don't think, you know, we need to commit to five times right now for the 2011-2012 year, but I think we should keep it kind of in our back pocket, and if an opportunity arises that, you know, looks like a good product, we should consider it at that point.
I'd like to go over the cost again. It's $800. Our cost would be $800 for a two-page ad.
Yes.
All right. And then each ad would be $65.
Yes.
And how many ads?
Now, I mean, where I was thinking is maybe we do it twice a year, Christmas and summer. But I think it is something that needs a little bit more discussion. I don't think we're on a timeline on this right now, so maybe given that we have another meeting coming up,
I agree,
we can put it off till next week.
Yeah, I think we need to table it until we look at our budget concerns. I do kind of disagree with this idea of, I think part of promoting the town is promoting individual businesses in the sense of not that we as a committee are going to do that, but that we point out to folks in San Luis and Avila and Atascadero that we have a big variety of different kinds of businesses here. So if those businesses are willing to, you know, put in that $65, and the hope would be that we get maybe 20 to 24 different businesses each time we do it, so that people see that same, oh, look, the city of Morro Bay is advertising something, but now we know that this new restaurant is in town here, or this gift store is opened, or there's a gallery in a new place, or something. So I you can promote the town, but I think the town is made up of its parts, and I think that's the beauty of this kind of advertising, is it lets people see that we're not just saying come to Morro Bay and sit on the beach. That's a good thing, too, but, you know. So, but I would like to put it on our agenda for next month, Andrea. I think we're not ready to make any kind of motion on it. That's okay with everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
all
Steve.
Right. And to answer Bill's question, if indeed we did have 20 individual ads as well as the large, it would be $2,100 for a $3,400 ad. So Tolosa Press is still making a significant contribution to the city of Morro Bay. So, again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next item we won't be able to do. It's the adoption of the 2011-2012 budget. We'll bring that back at our next meeting. Discussion of new ideas. Anything? Oh, did we miss that? You're right. Okay. Do we want to table that for the next meeting? I think it was an important study, but we're really running up against some time issues here.
And I think for the benefit of the board, we're clearly we're fine-tuning our joint meeting time schedule, so I think we might be pushing it back to 9:30, but probably the best is to table that for your August meeting.
Okay.
Thanks for your patience.
I have a question about the study. Is this going to be available for people at the workshop?
Yes, we can definitely bring the
The facilitator that's handling the stakeholders workshop requested that specifically because we talked about the survey and the outcomes. So we can definitely have that as handouts.
So that may mean it's advantageous to discuss it at our next meeting because we'll have all that input.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So are we okay with putting that on the next agenda? All right. Now discussion of new ideas. Anything quickly? We can always email new ideas to me anytime during this month, and then I can go to Andrea and get it agendized. Correct, Andrea? So, you know, if you're not being inspired right at the moment, don't fret. Declaration of future agenda items. We will have the budget.
I think we need to discuss the billboard sign.
Okay.
And the possibility of replacing that and whatever.
Okay. And the study. We'll discuss.
How about the banners?
And the banners. We'll need to come back next time. Anything else anybody can think of for future agenda items right now? No? All right. We are going to adjourn for perhaps 10 minutes to set up tables so we can do our joint meeting. So stay tuned. Go get another cup of coffee. And we'll be back here at about 9:20 for our joint TBID and CPC meeting. Thank you. Well, this is the joint meeting of the Community Promotions Committee and Tourism Business Improvement District. It is Thursday, July 21st. We were hoping to start at 9. The CPC agenda got a little thick and went on a little long. We apologize, but it is now 9:25, and we are starting our joint meeting. We have a full assortment of CPC people here, and it looks like TBID is also a complete board today. So we are now called to order. Public comment. Trina.
Hello, Trina Doherty, Secretary of the Morroway 4th Organization. And I just want to extend the board's thank you to one grandparents got to watch their daughter and grandson live from Pennsylvania. So this is a huge advertising promotional event for the city of Morro Bay, and you know we have footage for use for next year for Barnett and Cox to use next year. We have DVD, or we also have it all on archive now. So on Morro Bay 4th or on slowspan.org, you can actually view the event still. So people will be going to that hopefully and watching the music and the great folks. So, again, just a huge, huge thank you to everybody on these two committees and to everybody who pitched in, donated their $5 and their water bill, came down and picked up chairs and picked up trash. It was just a great event. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Trina. Any other public comment today? You guys are all just watching for fun. That's nice. Okay.
Trina, excuse me, yeah. Madam Chair. Trina, do you know when the Morro Bay 4th Committee is going to return the follow-up to the funding request form to the TBID? There's a second part of the form for the funding request form. That
and I don't know exactly. I'm assuming that, does it need to be at a meeting?
It does need to be presented to us.
So it should be probably by next meeting? By next, I'm looking at our president over there. Dan might know better. So by the next TBID meeting?
Is this for follow-up on the monies that were spent?
That's correct, yes.
The billing hasn't been fully processed, so we don't have a complete final budget of what was spent and how all the funds were utilized. So as soon as we get that, then we'll be presenting it at the board. Mm-hmm. We're not forgetting.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Sorry about that, Joan. This is all a learning curve. Did anybody else on TBID have a comment or question? Okay. All right. And no other public comment. CPC actually already approved the minutes of our joint meeting in our individual meeting, so we can move to your board to go ahead and take a look at our joint meeting minutes.
Thank you very much. Good morning, TBID board. I'm assuming that everyone took a look at those minutes that were sent to you electronically and then probably printed them. Are there any changes that you'd like to make to any of the minutes? Looking then to have a motion to accept those meeting minutes from our joint meeting.
I make a motion to accept the minutes of the past joint meeting.
I'll second.
Okay, then. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, opposed then? None. Great. We have a passage. Thank you.
Thanks, Joan and TBID committee. So I think we're moving on now to our monthly reports. The first one up is the Visitor Center report. And I guess that's Craig.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for this opportunity. The first page is really for TBID. It's the invoice for fulfillment pieces that we mailed out in June. And that's just an information piece to keep them abreast of what's going on with regards to expenses billed to TBID. The second is the month-end total report for June. Visitor count was up over May, and it was up over June of 2010, so that's good news. Total calls coming in also were up over last month and up over last year. The next piece is something new that we're doing at the Visitor Center. We're actually tallying by the hour how many visitors we have coming in. We have extended our operating hours from 9 to 5 by request of City Council. And so what we said for the next 90 days that they extended our contract, that we would count hourly the people that come in and also break out the people that are only requesting restroom. And even though restroom is a very important component of an effective and successful visitor center, those counts were broken out by request. So you see we're running about 6% of our visits are looking for the restroom. And if anybody's been on the road, you know visitor centers are a great place to hit a clean restroom. And that's a great draw for bringing people in and hopefully handing a brochure to them as they leave. We see that there's quite a bit of success in the 3 o'clock and 4 to 5 o'clock hour on Saturday and Sunday, so it seems to be successful that we have extended those hours during the peak season. The mornings are still fairly effective. We had 10 visits on Saturday from 9 to 10 and same on Sunday. So we will continue this over the next 90 days. We'll continue to track it and we'll continue to report it to the joint meeting. The next page is a lodging availability sheet. This is something that the Visitor Center has done in the past, as Bill and Ed will attest to, where we're tracking whether there are available. Please.
Craig, I've got a question. How are you sending this out or contacting the
hotels? Every Wednesday, a blast will go out to all these people that are listed here. We've compiled all of the email addresses. So if the lodgers know that every Wednesday a blast will be coming to remind them and request for this information, hopefully it won't fall off the table.
And then they respond to the email by
Correct.
Putting in
Correct.
Their portion?
Correct.
Thank you.
Yes, Jane.
I don't know how. Okay. In the past, what I've done as a hotelier is I've called the Visitor Center, and I usually call every Wednesday, and I give them my availability for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then, so it's the onus is on me not to fax paperwork back. And then it's updated, and then the information gets updated by the Visitor Center.
Right.
I think that if we keep it the onus on the hoteliers and let them know what you're doing, which I'm sure they already do,
mm-hmm.
that's how I think that's the way it needs to
right.
be.
Right. You can either call in or respond with an email, however you like. And Jane, you have been very good about notifying us, and hopefully that's been helpful for you in booking rooms by us knowing the availability.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. I'd like to know where the Sin Down Inn is.
That's probably the Sundown, unless we have a... And I'm not even sure if that's zoned correctly. Maybe Andrea can tell us about city zoning for the Sundown Inn. Thanks for that clarification, Bill. I will change that as soon as I get back to the office.
Craig, I see on here... I look on here that the list shows me that we have all the hotels on here. We have a garden cottage, which is a vacation rental, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the bed and breakfast near Morro Bay, RV parks. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about just extending this to include the major vacation rental companies, that it could be faxed to them so that you could, on like a Wednesday, you know, you might be able to fill them for a weekend for like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday or something.
So like property management companies?
Yeah. There's like Bayshore Vacation Rentals and it's in the visitor's guide.
Right. That's
unfortunately,
excellent.
It's not all in my head.
That's an excellent suggestion. Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll add that.
Yeah, because there's some space down there on the bottom, and you might be able to hit at least the majors.
And Craig, along those lines, can we also just put this out there to individuals who own vacation rentals? I know several that manage them themselves, that they can get on your email list and provide that information as well.
Yeah, staff spent quite a bit of time trying to research all the properties
here. It's hard
here,
to find
so,
them, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There must be some way that we can put the word out. Hopefully over time they'll see the value of this and they'll contact us.
And also, is there some way to make this available? Like, I know you're going to post it down there at the visitor center. Is there some way to make it available on the website, or is that, I mean, probably not yet. Maybe at some point in the future, because,
hotel availability, I'm sorry to answer your question,
yeah.
Hotel availability is available on the website through the Jackrabbit system right now, and all the hotels are listed, with
good.
Phone numbers for those that aren't Jackrabbit friendly.
Yeah.
Let's put it
so somebody
way.
Who's standing in my gallery at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon can access it. Okay, great.
Absolutely. I wondered if there's going to be a way on this where will you check, yes, rooms are available, or NA for we don't know because they didn't respond, or a zero, it's full. I mean, is there going to be some code system for...
Well, my thought was if Beach Bungalow has two suites available, we would put two in there just to let people know, how many suites are available.
And then what would you do if somebody didn't respond at all?
I was thinking of leaving it blank.
Okay.
Yes. Well, if I send it out Wednesday, if they could get it to me Wednesday or Thursday, we'll keep updating it as we get the information.
Sorry. Can we do that? Like, if you send it out on Tuesday, so by Wednesday evening, every hotelier has to respond, and then to Wednesday night or first thing in the morning on Thursday, you have that. So from Thursday till they have till next whole week to book a room. Not only weekend, we want to target every single day, because restaurants has to close by 8 p.m. Usually they close at 9, even in the summer. Like I was walking the other day, so I was just thinking, so.
Would it benefit then to send it out Tuesday instead of Wednesday?
Yeah, because that will give us a one day push up ahead, then to be prepared, and whoever don't respond, as you said, you can leave it blank, and however number it is,
part of what we're doing, and it's just weekly done.
And if there are any cancellations or changes, please call the office. We have several lodgers that call us on a regular basis to let us know about last-minute cancellations or availabilities, and we'll do everything we can to fill those up.
I would suggest, too, I don't know if you want to go into having the number counts. I think you should just put available or not.
Okay.
I think you're going to get into some troubles having a count because counts change so quickly.
Right.
One of the biggest problems was on Saturday, we didn't know the hotels that were full. And so you had a list so it would be nice if the hotels could, if you fill up, send it that we're full.
And
you filled up Friday and Saturday, you're full or something, so that you're not giving
I totally agree with you. So the burden falls back on the hotel to call you when they're full, because believe me, there's nothing worse than sitting at your desk, or when you're a live-in hotel owner or manager, it's 10 o'clock at night and they're still calling because this is posted and it's not cleaned up, and you're like, oh, you know, I sold out 5 hours ago. I just want to chill right now. Everybody's in their room. Everybody's, you know, I need downtime too, right? Because it's 24 hours a day there. When we sold our last hotel, I had to ask my husband, where did we put the keys to the front door? Because the door is always open. So, I mean, that's the way it is. And so it's back on the hotelier to get back to the visitor center to make sure that these are updated. But also for you as a tool in the visitor center, there is a way of telling whether there's availability by going in and looking at the day for availability on the computer based on the morrowbay.org site. But, you know, when that's not available after hours, this is an awesome thing. And somebody, we were just looking at, you know, how many of these walk-in visitors were for hotel referrals, and there's no way of telling off this report. But then I went back to the phone list, and I took the phone list and I did the math on it, and 7% of the phone calls that came into the visitor center were for hotel referrals, 7.4%. So if you figure that, you know, 7 to 10% of these this walk-in traffic is there, then you can kind of figure how many referrals go out of there every month. I mean, it's a guesstimate, but it gives you an idea.
And actually, Joan, those referrals are both phone calls and walk-ins.
These right here?
Yes.
These are telephone and walk-in referrals.
That's correct.
So only 7% for hotels for lodging. So that this form will be sufficient if it's updated, I think, and sent in on Thursdays. And, yeah, we used to do it. It worked well. You know, and also I think the hotels should be, just like she said, calling down there and saying, hey, I have space.
So we have consensus then that this is a useful tool. I can send it out on Tuesdays just as easily as I can send it out on Wednesdays. So we'll send it out on Tuesday, and we'll research the property management folks to include them on the list.
Thanks, Craig. It's a great idea.
I would suggest to maybe on here, because if I'm a customer coming from out, I don't know the area code.
Oh.
So maybe put the area code on there their 800 number. Just one suggestion.
Good point.
Well, is the purpose of this form is not to hand this form out, will it?
Well, it's going to be on the window during non-operating hours, it'll be at the visitor center front desk during operating hours.
Okay, so then it's very important that the hoteliers update it every single day, because there's nothing worse than posting inaccurate information and having somebody go to a hotel and it's full, and they say, well, I got this information from the visitors.
Chair Stewart, I'm going to just stop. Yeah. At this point, I think we either need to agendize this for a future discussion at a joint meeting, because this was a report and we're having a full-blown discussion. I appreciate the discussion. I know it's important, but if there's, I think if we're going to go any farther, we probably need to put this on the agenda for a future meeting. Okay. Sorry.
I think I've been given a good direction, so I will proceed. The next report is the yearly report. So you can see the trends with regards to calls and visitation at the visitor center. I supply this every month for your information. Then at the request of Bill Stafford, and I thought it was a good one, show you the fulfillment totals for each month and what state they come from. And so you'll see where our marketing is having an impact and where those requests for fulfillment pieces are coming from. And this concludes my report. Thank you.
I have a quick question on your report, Craig. On the second on the month-end totals on this page here.
Yes.
On this one here, this is what we're looking at. On this one here, for the last couple of years, I've been curious about the 800 number. And I think that this shows us that calls coming in for the 800 number, I think we need to look at, quite possibly look at the value of that 800 number. If in the middle of the summer, I put together a supplementary report for us, and so let us look at the figures, everyone. Okay, so for May, because you know, we report and then it comes out, we have 30 days to turn in, blah, blah, blah. So May, we had a 51% occupancy rate with 920
guest rooms, and this is just for motels that I'm looking at. So with that 51% occupancy rate, we were up from 47% month on month, year on year. And what that showed was that we had a 9% increase in TOT collections. So we are starting to gain. Our TOT collections were 9%, even though our occupancy rate is not 9%. We're climbing. We're getting better. The collections percentage for some of our outlying competitors were still higher than ours, so we're still looking at how we can zoom in on market share. For example, San Luis, I know their figures were 16%. They were up 16% in their collections. So, but we are really starting to gain, and that's awesome for us all as a city and as a TBID and as businesses and as a partnership. And I believe that Sherry has some information for us. Is that true?
Basically, we just graphed the TOT for the fiscal year. So the numbers that you have are, you know, a more complete report. But we're compiling TOTs for the stakeholders workshop for the last 10 years, which is going to be fun. And so we'll have, you know, extra information there. But, yeah, all the numbers
is
received.
Is that graph available to us now, or is it going to be available to us at that meeting?
It'll be available at the meeting at the stakeholders workshop on Tuesday morning. So,
awesome. Okay. And is there any questions on what was reported?
Is the 56% occupancy for April, is that correct? It seems like it's, you know, receipts were nowhere near May, but occupancy was above. So either daily rate, something went nuts there, or the 56% doesn't seem right.
Easter.
Yeah, but,
Easter was in April.
But your receipts are so far down, that doesn't reflect Easter.
Well, the rates are less.
Can't be that much.
One thing I think we need to remember, too, we always, I notice, us concentrate on occupancy percentage, which is a good thing, mm-hmm. but we need to remember that it's also about ADR, about
right.
what we're actually bringing in. And one thing, unfortunately, that's been going on in the market over the last few years is the rates have been going down. So because we're so slow, people are, you know, lowballing, and they're dropping their rates and dropping their rates and dropping their rates and getting into this dropping the rate. So even though we may have a higher occupancy, we may collect less tax because those rates are less. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. It just seems to me that that's kind of a staggering drop in ADR. On a month-to-month basis.
In April, we went up by 121,000 in gross receipts with a 7% increase. In May, we went up by 141,000 with a 4% increase. I think that's the point he's making.
Right. Yeah, and if this is 10% of the total number, that means receipts increased by $1 million. But occupancy actually dropped by 4%, 5%. And I can understand you say maybe you made up an ADR. But that seems like an awful big drop, or inversely, big increase in May for ADR.
I think we did show a big drop in ADR based on the fact that we had, I'm going to be honest with you, we had so much rain that the open rooms moved, so inventory crawled out of the hotels. I mean, it was like, ugh. You know, getting people into even walk-in traffic. I mean, I don't get much walk-in traffic at the bungalow, but the folks who do get walk-in traffic told me that the walk-in traffic was, like, non-existent. And, that really reflects in rain, because the more inventory you have open, the less pressure there is to bring that ADR up, because hotel rooms are commodities.
And, not only rain, we had a highway one closer too this year. So that was a, major, we had effect on our walk-ins too. So, and it's always like either we had a less occupancy, but we have a good ADR, so.
Janice?
I just wanted to say something, that I think this is tremendously good news. Because of the rain, San Luis, of course, they had a spike. Oprah said they were the happiest place in the world. What do you think? I mean, you have the TBID with the money and the promotions. We really have brought up the occupancy and the income. And I think that, yes, we have to keep working at it, but I think we also have to...
The sales tax revenue broken out like this, too, talking about the rising tide so that we can show the community the benefits of our efforts?
Both at the workshop.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. I think we're ready to move on to the advertising agency report. Sherry?
Thank you. Well, I'm very happy to be in this seat today. Thank you all. We have been working diligently for a few months, but really officially took over June 1st. We were completely transitioned over as of July 1st. Went fairly smooth. The website, a few hiccups with the transition, which we talked to the chamber a lot about. And in some of the reports that were sent, the analytics, they were split because of the transition. You had 23 days of June, and then you had the last 7 days of June, which gave me a heart attack when I looked at them and went, but anyway, they're combined numbers, and we'll look at those numbers on the report. And I'm going to have you guys kind of swing around because we're going to present up on the screen, not knowing the... how the venue is going to work out, but we'll move forward. We've been working on some, can you see, John? Yeah, okay. New advertisements. This is the first small ad that's going in the Sunset Travel Guide in September 2011. It actually publishes August 16th. It's going to be a really good run, pre-saver. It'll be out about 6 weeks before Saver hits, and a good publication for that. So we also went on the Sunset Saver Tour page. That will also publish in September 2011 in Sunset. And Morro Bay's on the map big, and it's been a lot of fun working with the Saver group and getting things all lined up. We're 10 weeks away from Saver, definitely hitting the streets with it right now. So... these are some of the videos, and I have to figure out some of the press that we accomplished in June. This was, oops, back. Let's see here. There we go. Put it on the desk. See if we can get this rolling. I got it, I think.
They'll have reduced hours. It is officially summer. Today was the longest day of the year, the summer solstice. And to ring in the new season, hundreds of people gathered at Morro Rock in Morro Bay for a special celebration. One of those was Dave Hovde, and he got to be part of the extremely interesting and important ceremony. Dave, you were there.
I was. Tribal members from all over the Central Coast coming together at Morro Rock this evening. It was hosted by the Salina tribe. Tribe members are allowed to climb the rock to the tribe's spiritual place. Now, scaling Morro Rock is not usually permitted. There was a fire at the top of the rock and another below to welcome in the summer. There was also an Aztec dance group, music, and a wishing rock ceremony as well. Tribe members climbing the rock say it's an experience like no other. Some even want to allow non-tribal members access in the future.
To be honest with you, there is no, it's like another world up on top.
14 hours and 21 minutes of sunlight behind all that cloud cover. Look at some of the numbers. Daytime high.
Okay, and then a press release that came, an editorial that came out right after that on June 23rd was the front page on the Tribune. We were very happy to see a Tribune reporter go out and go on subsea tours, take the tour, and immediately put this on the front page. We got lots of great exposure for it. He said his phones were ringing off the hook. We gained a lot of Facebook likes from this when we posted this on Facebook. The responses were, I mean, I think we had 49 responses, 35 likes just to this one post. So people were excited, and we were thrilled to get that. And this was the coverage. Let's see where we are. Got too many gadgets here. And it's not there. So. And this was the whale.
Some animals that can definitely swim.
Coverage on KSBY.
Whales. It's not that unusual to see one off our shores, but you'll have No problem spotting a lot more right now. Subsea Tours, a Morro Bay whale watching company, says it's seeing more than double the number of whales it normally spots at this time of year, and they're coming closer to shore than usual. Nancy Chen shows us what's drawing in our marine neighbors.
Whistling at you guys.
Life is good for Captain Dave Butler.
I mean, we could have blindfolded ourselves and found whales.
Normally, this tour is lucky to spot one or two whales. But in the past 2 weeks, they've topped about 30 each trip, including several blue whales, the largest animal on Earth.
Don't need the
whales off of Morro Bay right now, the humpback and the blue whale. To put it in perspective, the blue whale is as long as a 10-story building is tall and has a heart the size of a Volkswagen.
Oh, man.
Okay, and one more short video. This was the canine fundraiser parade that
happened. Still under investigation.
Happened.
Dozens of people put on their
KSBY
walking shoes to join Man's Best Friend for a cause today. It was a fundraiser walkathon for the Morro Bay Police Department to get them a new police dog. Several free events were put on today, including a pie-eating contest for dogs. They even had a look-alike contest between dogs and their owners. If you don't have a dog, one animal welfare group was renting them out for the fundraiser.
I know, that was cool, yeah.
We're going to have a couple canine demonstrations from Arroyo Grande APD are going to come out to help support the cause, to help us get a Morro Bay canine.
And they say this event has raised so far more than $3,000. Today in Florida, the...
That also had a great response. Anytime you put dogs, puppies, kids on the Facebook page, people were all over it. They just thought it was fabulous, and Morro Bay was well recognized for that effort.
Sherry, I want to tell you that I had a friend call from Maui who just said, God, I can't believe how many whales you have off your coast. I was just watching the news, and they had a piece on there about Morro Bay and whale watching and how the whales are so close. So that piece got picked up and was shown in Hawaii, well, in the height of their tourist season, in the height of their whale watching season since the whales pass through, about Morro Bay. So that was very cool when I heard from her. So,
yeah, we were thrilled, and we're just looking forward to more and more of that. We feel like public relations is a very important part of the entire marketing campaign, and putting a lot of emphasis on that. And people are really receptive to it. I mean, some of this happened. Maggie was at lunch with somebody and started talking and was calling the Tribune on the way back and putting it all together. So it will definitely be a focus of ours. These are some of the news releases that are currently in the works. Saver-oriented, obviously, because we're so close. We've got a Battle of the Bay press release that just got that will be released next week, both statewide and nationally. Saver Oyster Tour is also going to go out. The tour is sold out for Saver, so that was a popular one. But we'll still get some kudos for Morro Bay on that, and also the Saver Kayak Paddle Boat Tour. So lots happening in PR. And then I wanted to look at the analytics for the website. And as I said, June was the transition month. We received everything from TJA on June 30th and officially took over on July 1st. We've started doing, I think TJA used to do it sort of mid-month to mid-month. We've started doing it month, you know, the first of the month to the end of the month. We think it's a better look all the way across to do it this way. So the web site visits were down a little bit, which was of concern. We looked into it. The transition, as I said, there was a two-day lag for the website that some computers were handling, you know, getting the new website up, some weren't. And I was on the phone constantly with Rick Turton trying to figure out what the heck was going on. So we're definitely hoping for better things in July, because I was surprised by even being down 1,500. So that was total visits for the month. The top 10 referring URLs, morro/bay.california, was number one. VisitCalifornia.com was number two. We've been doing a lot of outreach to VisitCalifornia.com. Morro Bay had some advertising on that site that ended June 30th, but we've been submitting content, photos, captions, video, more in a PR style rather than purchasing advertising, although we will be doing that later in the year. So that's working for us, getting some sort of organic advertising on that site. SanLuisObispoCounty.com, they've been very, very strong. We met, you know, with the VCB yesterday, and they're great support for Morro Bay and all the cities in the county. And then Sunset.com, and then it kind of goes down from there. Sunset Celebration Weekend was in June, the very first weekend of June. They added 475 new email addresses at the Celebration Weekend, which have been added to the database. I was not able to secure the June new email addresses from Rick. I have the entire database. He just was not able to, pair out June. I will get that, but it's not up there. So we're working on diligently building that database, and we'll start using it for email deployments and email ads quite quickly. In fact, we're talking about early August, and I'm actually thinking that we may want to push it into the end of July. Very valuable. JackRabbit has been for them, so we're... The survey, exactly. The top 10 referring cities, we've got San Luis Obispo, Fresno, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and on down the line. There was some advertising still being handled by TJA in June, but definitely ended with them June 30th. We're back on track to be online with LA Times and San Jose and a couple of the other valley areas by mid-August, early September.
I have a question, Sherry.
Sure.
Would the San Luis Obispo being the top advertising referral be the VCB?
I think it's definitely got, yes.
Okay.
New visitors, and I think I've got some, that was the total. I'm trying to think of what the... New visitors are down, and we aim to change that. Yes, definitely. So that's, this is giving us lots of momentum to improve things. It's 13,535 new visitors for June 2011. This is the TOT graph that we'll continue to run for you guys, and this is for the fiscal year starting July 2010 and ending May 2011 because of the lag in TOT numbers. But we had the numbers from Joan, and we know where we stand with that. We're the June 2011 or the May 2011 is the blue line, so we're up significantly, and we're going to keep pointing that way. This was the San Francisco trolley visit that Joan was at the trolley, I know, and Brian Trapp from our company was there too taking photos. We posted the photos on the Morro Bay Facebook page as well as Twittered about it on the Morro Bay Twitter page. But this was handled by the San Francisco Travel Association, who has 433,000 million visitors or thousands.
They have 433,000 Facebook followers.
Right.
And it's ridiculous.
Yes.
I mean, it's just,
And we sent
makes
them.
Makes us envious.
We sent them tweets. We sent them 10 or 15 tweets about Morro Bay right before that. They called the night, like at, 6 o'clock the night before this trolley was coming. So we're, like, tapping out tweets. And so we really got some great exposure and some good photos out of it and some good comments. So that was another fun one. New Facebook likes for June 2011, 117 new likes. And we are working on building that one up, too. So it's a good start. And that concludes my marketing report for you guys. Any questions?
Any questions from CPC? No? Joan?
Okay, first of all, I like the format. I like the overview presentation. I think it looks great. On some of the charts, especially the ones that are showing, like San Luis Obispo County, the one that showed where our top referring sites were, on the end of the bar, maybe we could put the number of referrals from those. That would, I think, help to make those, for me, More real, right? Well, sure. And, if we can just get a little bit more data put in there. Are we doing away with this style of report and trying to merge and move towards that one? I guess that's a question that I have. Okay.
Comprehensive report and graph some of it, but also use the data. I want to keep it consistent to what we've had because you guys are used to that, but I also want to elevate it.
Okay. So as we elevate it and use that data, if we can put the data up there that we've used, that's going to be super duper helpful for me. Everyone else?
On your graphing, if possible, and I don't know, this may be asking too much, if you could do the month-to-month comparison and a year-to-date comparison also.
Okay.
Year-to-date, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Any questions for TBID to Sherry regarding the report? Nope. Just really great. Love the PR work. I mean, love that it got picked
We're
up in Hawaii.
We're very excited. Yeah, that is great. And that whale, I know the print whale release went out to the nation. So, and that's an indication that we got some response. So,
thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
We have nothing listed under unfinished business. So I believe we can go on to new business. First on the agenda, discussion on the Partner Stakeholders Marketing Plan Workshop. Andrea, do you want to address that?
Yes. Everybody's important in this meeting. I've had people ask me, will it be redundant? Is the first meeting going to be a duplicate of the second? And I tell them no. But I think there will be opportunities in the second meeting to hear how the process went in the first meeting and the information that came out of it so that it will build on into the second meeting. I think also community leaders and groups hopefully have been speaking with members of those groups and are happy to bring people's issues to these meetings. You can talk with any one of us, any one of these boards here, anybody you think might be going. Give some input, write an email to someone. Everybody's ideas and input is encouraged. So,
I was just going right along those same lines. When we had the meeting with the different gallery owners and arts community people the other day, I did put out there if anybody has the input and can't make a meeting, if they would email it to me, I'd be happy to read it at the meetings. You can email me at sweetonemorobay@gmail.com. And, I think if any of us are willing to do that, I'm sure. If anybody has anything to say, we can always bring it forward.
All right. I do want to make it clear, and TBID, if you have any comments or questions about the joint meeting, we can get them answered here while we're all together. But I should make it clear that RSVPing is super duper important on this one because we are renting handheld devices. This is going to be an interactive meeting. It allows you to, it's like about the size of a BlackBerry, and it's like Wheel of Fortune. You put your answer in, or Jeopardy, you put your answer in, and the answers are reflected almost immediately so that we can understand and move forward. And we so far have about 50 of these reserved, but if we get 56 people who show up, we want to reserve 56 of them so that we can have them delivered to us. So we do need your RSVP. It is important that you do let us know. All these people up here would be happy if you're not comfortable RSVPing through email. They would be happy to zip an email over to Bridget. And it is you do need to RSVP to the city clerk, Bridget, and her email address is
It's on the city website. It's bkessling@morrow-bay.ca.us. I think it is important to note, though, and Joan, I want to correct you, you don't have to RSVP to be able to participate. It's
great if you
can, but you don't have to. So I think that's important.
But we would like to have those devices for everyone. That's all I'm trying to say. Because, you want to go there and have your maximum participation.
Also, I think just to point out that those little devices allow you to be anonymous if you want. If you're not comfortable with speaking up in a you're clicking, nobody knows. You can say you think the biggest benefit to tourism is
I don't know what. But you can say it. Nobody's going to know. So there is a level of anonymity, if that's important.
Chair Stewart, let's. I cut off, or I didn't cut off, but let's invite Sherry Clark to just.
Yes.
She may have some comments
yes.
on this.
I noticed she was trying to.
I just wanted to let you guys know it's a very dynamic. The setup for the workshop is very dynamic. If you talk to anybody that's thinking that it's going to be a very boring, somebody's going to be talking to them for 4 hours, it's not. It's totally interactive. It is that, and I want to thank you all for answering the questions that I sent out, and that's going to be the basis for some of the surveys that we do. But we can also just on the fly, if somebody has sort of an off the wall comment, okay. We'll put that up there, and that will be one of the choices. So it's very people will be heard, and you're right, Susan, that the first session is very much an information gathering, but we will be asking questions, letting small groups talk about it for 5 or 10 minutes, then do the polling, come back, do some, and we've established some goals and what we want to get out of this. And then on Thursday, we'll come back. These are some of the outcomes we've had from the Tuesday session. What do you think about this? How can we further develop it? How can we market based on the information that we got on Tuesday? So it's we're really excited about it. We've got a fabulous facilitator and lots of, a great intro with the history of tourism and some really good tourism stats to kind of lay the foundation. So anybody you talk to, I would encourage them to come because I think it's a great thing for the city.
It's going to be really exciting.
Yes.
Moving on, discussion of the proposed logo. Which is up on our screen.
Oh, thanks. We, I think we talked about this at the CPC meeting, that we had a creative meeting with both subcommittees in June and went through a lot of marketing and creative ideas. The logo was really quite...
It looks, because the darker color is on top, it looks like a night scene. And I was just wondering if the darker color could be on the water and the lighter color on top. That was my only comment. It was something I didn't think of until later when I saw it. I thought, as a photographer, that says night to me. And I think that daytime is probably what we want to advertise a little bit more.
I think we could definitely give that a whirl. I got your email, and as soon as I saw it, I was like... that artistic eye was helpful, and I think we could look at it both ways and see what makes sense.
I have one comment. I like the logo very much. I'm wondering whether or not the word California should be in there, Morro Bay. I don't know if there are any other Morro Bays, and this is going to be an international logo. We're going to use this in many areas. If the Morro Bay was raised just a little higher in the block and California was placed under it, it might, it's just a comment. I mean, it's not, it's just a, possibly when you reduce it really small, the California might not show, you might just eliminate it. But in a size that's readable, maybe the word California should be in there. You might just... My comment.
Yeah, again, I think we can explore that. I would want to keep Morro Bay, obviously, front and center,
yeah,
so bigger. And but definitely the font could be adapted to California, and we'll look into that.
T-Bit?
I have a quick comment. I like the look of it, but just a question, are we going to change Discover Your Better Nature also, or is this all inclusive?
That is going to come up at the stakeholders workshop. That's one of the questions, obviously, that we have. Our original take on this was that we are not going to lose Discover Your Better Nature. We're just going to expand it so that in different advertising we can use, Discover Adventure, Discover Nature, Discover, and not that Discover Your Better Nature would usually not be a headline. It will not be a part of the logo, but it will be a tagline in some of the advertising. So we're not abandoning it.
So as we discuss color and all these other things, in the past, depending on and I'm talking about print media right now, so depending on the piece of print work that we put out, if, for example, the background on the print was black for some reason, like a night sky, then TJA previously used a logo, but used it in like a yellow font or a blue font. It was constantly changing colors. So is the idea then with BCA, or is the idea then to take one logo, always use it no matter whatever the background color is, or would you also, you know, be looking at playing with that? Because, you know, I'm just curious.
Consistency is really important. So my overall take is use this wherever we can, whenever we can, but we don't want it compromised. I mean, if you're going into a publication, or say you're co-oping with some other people and you don't have, you know, the design control, there's adaptations that can be made. I don't think I'd ever go orange. I don't, you know, but I think that we can lighten up. You can put a white background on it, even if you're around the logo, even if you're on a full black background. It's not unchangeable. I just think the more consistency we have, the better it's going to play.
Okay, was just a question I had, and I believe Member Beeman, do you have a question?
Actually, I was just going to make a comment, and that is that the gradation of color, I totally understand what Janice is saying, okay, about it's nighttime, but I was just kind of playing with it myself, with my own colors, and if you make the bottom and the top that same gradation tone, it looks very elegant, and it doesn't perceive nighttime at all. If you go ahead and then you just make the top that light part here, it's going to have a whole different effect. So if you bring back some other information, it would look, I think you'll see the elegance, see the difference.
I do see what she's saying. She has her artist stuff right here with her, of course.
So it sounds like overall I think there's a consensus that we really do like this logo, tweak the colors a little bit, and bring us back some other possibilities with that. Do we need to take any action in terms of voting? No, we don't at this point.
To me, when I saw it with everybody, I felt governmenty. I felt like it was a little, but I like it. So, and I'm not a creative person. That's never been my tone. I'm kind of with John. But that's my two cents. I just am going to back you to say that when I initially see it, I think of city government. But again, I've been looking at it for 20 years as city government. So maybe I'm a little biased because I already know what it is. So that would be my two cents on it. And I had a question. There was three. Those are all the same. That's just the different ways we would look at them. Right. Okay. And that was my only thing. So not to interrupt you, John, but I didn't want you to stand alone there.
Actually, I'm looking over a shoulder here at Jane's PC, and what I'm seeing her, and it's exactly the same thing, except it's got a little checkerboard look to it and some different, I'm starting to like that. I don't dislike it. Michelle and I think probably in the same school of thought there. I don't dislike it, and if that's where the group goes, I'm perfectly going to go.
I mean, I'm up for standing behind it, and I support it. I do get that government sterile feel a little bit. I don't get happy feely.
Well, I think if you get 14 different people in a room, you may have 14 different reactions. You know, I see the font as lightening it up. I also see this as a small town, and I think it's okay to have sort of an overarching identification that does include city and tourism. It kind of brings it all under that nice umbrella where if they go by our city building, they're going to say, oh, look, there's that logo. And if they go, you know, it matches what's in the ad. That doesn't bother me, but perhaps this is something. I hate to go all the way back to the drawing board, but
no, I think we should adopt it and go forward with it. I mean, mm-hmm. This is a place just where we voice what we have to say. And right. I agree. I stand behind it. I think it's a great logo. That's what I get when I look at it, and I'm not going to sit up here and say I get something that I don't get. So that's my only
thing.
I support it, though, and I would vote for it to be the logo. I'm just voicing what I see when I see. Mm-hmm.
I do have to say one thing is, and city planners, forgive me, I've never liked that tealy blue, it's not even teal, it's a different color blue that we use on our city logo. It's just not, it is, in my mind, kind of a 1985 color. So I do see what if we moved the logo, first of all, the lettering is very fresh. For me, the lettering is very fresh. The lettering is not sterile. We've moved away from it, the lettering looking like Discovery Channel or Discover credit cards, which I always compare the word Discover to constantly because it's a lot easier for them to suck our identification in than it is for us to cling on to theirs. So I want to make sure when we use that word Discover that we're our own set of discovering. So I think the logo is very, I think that the lettering is very fresh. The logo is the city logo. Again, that was done for overarching reasons, and I see strength in forming one identity. And it also, as we move forward with the tourism partnership, that the city is really the direction that the city itself is moving in, recognizing, you know, tourism and branding and destination marketing as an importance, then I think that this really strengthens that partnership more. But I do like using, like, new kind of modern, fresh colors with it and that kind of thing. So those are my two cents. I would adopt it today. And I think we do need to probably have a vote.
Janice? Is the city logo by any chance registered? Do we have to get permission to do something like that?
I don't believe so. It's that we did a little bit of research looking back on it, and I can't find anything where it was registered. I don't think Rob has any further information either. I'm not sure. It's been used for quite some time.
Good morning. We have trademarked, you know, of course, Discover Your Better Nature, but the logo was never copyrighted or trademarked. I would still consider it the property of the city, but since these are both city functioning boards, there wouldn't be any issue with that. But once you do pick it, it might be something that we want to now, since we've kind of gone through the process and know how to copyright and trademark, we might take it to that level if, in fact, it's the one we stick with.
Janice?
Somebody passed this over to me that has the blue, the light blue on the top. And what I'm thinking about, I know what you're saying, John, but I think that even going to a 70s kind of a feel, we are kind of saying, come back in time and remember what it was like here. You know, remember what it was like where you are now. We still have it, that sense of peace and no traffic and no smog, and this is a wonderful place to come. So that kind of classic feeling, I think the font really does bring it up. But what I'm looking at with this is maybe we go with three different blues, if that's something, if you're going to present some options with it, have the dark, the light, and then a medium one for where it says Morro Bay could really be pretty too. So, and I'm not saying we should go one way or the other. I just think it's neat to explore those options.
Logo? We have to vote on logo. Because we have to,
we're bringing this back to the next
joint meeting.
Okay. Which would go under Declaration of Future Joint Agenda Items?
Can we just vote on this logo? Why do we have to bring it back? I just don't understand.
You can vote. It sounds like there might be some changes made. I think color gradation
if everyone's ready, move ahead.
We can give our creative license to you because you're going to need to look at the ad and look at whatever.
Right.
As a basic logo,
right.
For me, I would like to see TBIT adopt this as our basic logo today and let you move on any kind of creative that you want to do with minor adjustments, because we need to move forward with our advertising and we need this adopted.
Well,
that's the way I feel.
I'm fine with that concept. Ed?
I had made that comment about the California. How do you feel about that? And is there any?
I feel like it could be included in whatever that advertisement is. I mean, say if you're in a travel guide, you're going to be in the California section, and it's going to say Morro Bay. If you're in Sunset Magazine, you know, the same kind of thing. There's going to be an ad that incorporates California in it, so I don't feel the need to add it into the actual.
It might be used
logo.
In other areas. Amit points out also that there are other towns called Morro with a W, and it's spelled wrong, Morrow. So it's just I'll vote for it. I like the logo very much. I just thought it might be appropriate to put the word California in there because that's where we are.
I think when you look at the one that shows just Morro Bay written, and then you look at MorroBay.org written, and you look at Discover Morro Bay, you could see where you could raise Morro Bay up and put California underneath, or write California. So I see that as another creative license thing, depending on the ad.
Well, that's what I'd like to see a design come back and see that. So maybe a variation with the word California under it. As Joan points out, that's exactly the way I would do it if I were going to do it. Again, I'm not going to vote no if you take a vote today, but I just would like to see what it would look like. And
how about a motion to approve this logo, which includes the little picture part, the font? Go ahead with that, because that's the main part of it. And then whatever verbiage is on, whether it's going to be Morro Bay, MorroBay.org, Discover Morro Bay, Morro Bay, California, is going to depend on what kinds of ads you're placing and where they're going. Does that work?
How about the color?
I would bring back some color variations, but I think we have this the concept of doing a lighter color on the top of the rock, darker color below, and keep it probably within the blues.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Ma'am.
Can I make a suggestion that
sure.
we just make a general motion.
I'll make a motion.
That states that we adopt this logo and give creative color and we adopt this logo knowing that there may be slight variations of this logo for the future.
Absolutely.
And keep it simple and clean.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Excellent. All in favor? Shall we do board separately?
I believe we have
easier?
To.
Yeah. Okay. All in favor on CPC board? Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, over to TBID.
I'd look for a motion from the board to adopt this logo with some slight variations for future use.
I make that motion.
Second.
Any questions? Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
We have a logo. This is exciting. Okay, on to future agenda items. I assume we bring back the same monthly reports. We probably want a report on the marketing plan workshop. Some new logo pictures coming back. Anything else?
I'd like to request, or I don't know if we discussed this now, can we have our joint meeting start at 9:30 instead of 9 o'clock, because I don't enjoy rushing here to be sitting here for 30 minutes. So if we could maybe do a 9:30 for a joint, and then that would move, I take it, the T-bid then to 10:30. But I don't know if this is where we discuss it or how that gets addressed.
I think we're still a work in progress. So I think that we can certainly look at that. We had a setup issue today, so I think generally we're not going to be we were 20 minutes late in starting. We had a 20-minute setup. So I think you can certainly meet. I met with both chairs to talk about how we're doing. I think it's going to take a little bit of time to work out, and it may not work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we can do that internally. Your comments were, appreciated and taken. Thanks.
I can make another comment, too, that, if you had the TV on at the hotel, you could tell where we are.
I was actually driving.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have a TV okay. in my car, but when you discover one of those, you let me know.
Time where now you've been held here, or sometime where we've come in early, but it is a work in progress. We'll get through it. It'll function. We'll get through it.
Yeah. All right. Any other comments?
I have a comment.
Yes.
Actually, I have a motion to adjourn.
That's a good one. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Both boards? Aye. We are adjourned.